Chuck Chat Technorama for Monday, November 21st, 2005.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
I like that. As a new network of podcasters, FIT, the Friends in Tech, sounds like they got something cool going on there.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to a prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem and no one else can help, if you can find them, maybe you can hire Technorama.
This is Technorama, coming to you from Holodeck 1. Yes, we've christened the studio with a new name. Same studio, new name. This is show number 59. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my co-host, Craig Stepp. We're doing a bit of an unusual starting, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I love it when a plan comes together.
We just have to have a lot of fun. So every once in a while, we throw something and make you hit that play button on your iPod or computer or Flash player and go, what happened to my Technorama? I was just getting used to the Milford Trenyons. We like to have our fun. That was our fun for this week. Okay, so long. Bye. No, just kidding.
Yeah, we're done.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got a lot. We have a lot, and I'm hoping we can keep this to our usual time frame. We'll do our best to keep it in that 30 to 40 minute window. We've got all kinds of listener feedback. We've got another return trip to the Computer Recycling Center. And what else? There was something else in there. What am I forgetting?
A bunch of listener feedback.
That too. We've got a little bit of news. We'll cover some news. And what have we got?
Superman.
Superman. That's right. You're all about Superman this week.
It has been a Superman week.
It has? Have you been flying around?
Yeah, I'm wearing my tights right. Well,
no. That's too much information right there.
La 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 la.
What do you say we get back to our traditional on this day in tech history?
Let's do it.
All right.
Set the Wayback Machine.
On this day in tech history for November 21st, 2005. This is November 21st. It's the 325th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 40 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1783 in Paris, Jean-François Pelletier de Rosier and François Laurent, Marquis d'Arlan, made their first untethered hot air balloon flight. The flight time was 25 minutes and reached a maximum height of 100 meters. Thomas Edison announces his invention of the phonograph on this date in 1877. This is considered to be Edison's first great invention. And in 1941, the radio program King Biscuit Time is broadcast for the first time. It would later become the longest-running daily radio broadcast in history and the most famous live blues radio program. In 1942, the completion of the Alaska Highway, also known as the Alcan Highway, is celebrated. However, the highway was not usable by the general public until 1943. In 1953, authorities at the British Natural History Museum announced that the skull of Piltdown Man, held to be one of the most famous fossil skulls in the world, was a hoax. The Verrazano Narrow Bridge opens to traffic on this date in 1964. At the time, it was the world's longest suspension bridge. And 36 years ago on this date, the first ARPANET link is established. Woohoo! 10 years ago today, Toy Story is released as the first feature-length film created completely using computer-generated imagery. And 1 year ago, in 2004, the Nintendo DS is released in North America. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1902 to Foster Hewitt, the Canadian radio pioneer. And Alexander Siddig turns 40 today. He's the British actor who played the Doctor on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. The UN General Assembly established today, November 21st, as World Television Day to encourage nations to exchange cultural programming. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for November 21st, 2005.
Up next, I hope you'll enjoy a skit by Pedro Sanchez.
When I came home from school, my head started to get really hot, so I drank some cold water, but it didn't do nothing. So I laid in the bathtub for a while, and I listened to Technorama, and I didn't feel so hot no more. Thanks, Chuck and Craig, for saving me from shaving my hair off again. To pay you back, I'm gonna build you a cake.
If there's anyone out there who thinks this show should not go forth, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Just hold your peace.
I didn't think so. So here we go. All right. As we mentioned many times already, we've got a lot of listener feedback. So we're going to see if we can get through this.
This is a listener feedback show.
This is. I don't know what happened. Maybe we made lots of mistakes or something on the last Wednesday show, and people just...
Gee, imagine that.
Joey Okazaki writes, "Hey, Chuck, been a long-time listener. I found something of interest on a blog for you. You might want to check it out. Click on the server's link for some info and pick. Kind of weird seeing a whole rack full of game consoles. Lots of laughs. I've heard of people turning their Xbox into a web server, but this is the first time I've seen somebody try to do it as a business. It is at www.xbox.com, only it's X-B-O-C-H-S.
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture right now.
That is bizarre looking.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, it looks like a whole bunch of Xboxes stacked up.
Sitting on shelf units on a rack.
And so, I don't know who sent me this one, but we've got another mind control helmet with a testimonial. This is
with a testimonial.
With a testimonial, yeah, mm-hmm. it really, really works. Michael Menken is the guy who invented this thing. It looks more like kind of a vinyl old army helmet or something.
You know, it looks like something you'd wear when you rode a motorcycle.
Yeah, like one of those Harley helmets.
Mm-hmm.
If it keeps the aliens out, I'm all for it.
Well, how do you know if it did? Or didn't.
We've also got an email from Christian Stout over at the HomeNetworkHelp.info podcast regarding our discussion about VPN routers. He said, listen to the show. The Netgear FVS338 is one of the new VPN-enabled routers that actually comes with a VPN client. Most VPN routers don't have the client, but this actually gives you the client so you can VPN in. Obviously, this is different than the freeware SSH tunnel. Thanks, take care, Christian Stout. I'm curious, is that client for Windows, for Mac, for Linux, for all three? I haven't had a chance to check into it.
I imagine it's at least Windows. Well, do you know, to be honest with you, Tiger has built-in client going to IPsec and whatnot, and so does Windows and Linux, so probably anything can connect to it. The one that comes with it, I bet, is Windows only.
Doesn't
but
matter anymore.
You never know. Never know.
And we've got one from our good buddy Jorga in Belgium on Unix on Windows. We were talking about Unix tools, Unix utils, Unix utils at SourceForge. He sent in another link.
Unix utils for Win32.
Yes. This one is GNU Win32.sourceforge.net. He says, I can't remember if I told you before about this. GNU Win32 is a solution also.
Yeah, so I'll have to check that one out, too. I've seen it before, but I haven't installed it, so thanks for sending me that link. I'll have to read that.
We've got lots of options.
Yeah.
It's good to have second options.
Yeah. Now, Charles Still, he's in the sticks.
That's what he always says. This is Charles Still from the sticks.
Yeah, it's Charles Still in the sticks. He replies about PC cleaning. Says, "Hi, Chuck. A follow-up on a voicemail message I left you about cleaning PCs. I did a hunt up on Victor's podcast on spring cleaning. Not only does my box run cooler, but my spelling has improved, and my code verifies easily now, and now that I've removed all the sunflower seeds from my keyboard." That's great. he says he liked the podcast from the convention. No, we didn't have any outchecks that weren't G-witted. So.
I think Trucker Tom eventually did get off the floor.
Yes, he did.
We've also got one from Phil Clark, a.k.a. Dr. Phil. He says, "Hi, Chuck. I need some advice on which is the best software to create multimedia content. For example, an audio/visual show that could be either viewed online or downloaded. I have Adobe Photoshop Elements, and for a show containing about 600 slides plus soundtrack, the file size is around 120 megabytes in Windows Media File format, WMV. Mm-hmm. I also have Pinnacle Studio, but I'm sure that will be just as big, although I haven't tried it yet. This is a bit cumbersome unless you are writing to a CD. If I used a flash program of some sort, would the file size be smaller? I know there are lots of variables, for example, the size of the images to start, but do you have any guidelines?"
So he's wanting to make a slideshow program. I would say, one, resize the pictures for this particular project, because, you know, if it's just a slideshow, they don't really need the highest resolution.
Well, if pictures. Correct. If they're taken at like 4 or 5 megapixels, and you're showing them on, say, a projector that's 1024 by 768 or somebody's screen. It really depends on the viewer's screen. Or if you're just going by 640 by 480, a little QuickTime movie might work as well.
Yeah. If he's got a Mac, iPhoto will make slideshows for you. Picasa will, too.
There's Picasa's some options. Free. We'll try them
out. Picasa's free from Google, so you can go download that. At Picasa.com.
Phil, if those don't help, let us know some more details. Maybe we can nail down something, or another listener will send something in and say, "Hey, here are some other options." Mm-hmm. And we'll chase those rabbit trails as well. We also have
this dog will hunt.
Sound effects are alive. We also have a couple of voicemail. One from our good buddy Mark from Memphis.
Mark from Memphis.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hey, Chuck, this is Mark from Memphis. I heard you on the Dragon Page Winging It podcast. When Phil said the cheerio out to me, I heard this little voice in the background go, "Have a Marvy Day." And I went, "I know who that is." Did they ever get you for stealing bumpers? I just wondered. Bye. This is Mark in Memphis. Bye.
The number you have reached has been changed to a non-published number.
Mark.
Hey, by the way, we did call up the RIAA and got permission from that BMG and all that for the copyright license to be able to play that bumper.
We got it from Michael Armangay. We got it.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. He gave us permission. In fact, he gave us the real files that he uses to put those together. Unfortunately, I didn't have them for that clip, so that was all hacked together from repurposed audio. But now I have the fresh, clean ones all ready to go on the right machine. So if Mark ever calls back, I have the raw materials to make a decent clip.
Hey, you know what's funny is I knew that he would pick up on that.
The little voice in the background, really? I thought that would get washed
As soon as I heard it while I was there, you know, as soon as I heard it, I was like, I can so hear him calling in on that.
We also have another voicemail from Dave, a nearby neighbor in Fond du Lac.
Hey, do you use chocolate or cheese for that?
Chocolate or cheese on not fondue. Fond du Lac is French for bottom of the lake.
It's where Uncle Vinny will send you if you don't vote for us at the Podcast Alley.
We got a couple of cement shoes to
send you to Fond du Lac.
Well, let's hear what Dave's got to say.
Hey, guys. It's Dave from Fond du Lac, one of your local neighbors. Just was listening to your last podcast about the 911 phone. I know our police department here actually takes all the turned-in old cell phones with the GPS compliancy issue, or, you know, the force of the GPS location system. We've been getting a lot more because a lot of the cell providers have been transferring them over and switching out all their old phones to their old subscribers with new phones. And what our department uses them for is actually passing them out to the, as you guys mentioned, the elderly. I know that some of the postal carriers even have them for reporting incidents while they're on their beat, and along with domestic abuse shelters. If there's a need for having a cell phone or whatever, that our local domestic abuse shelter also hands them out to those in need. Just thought I'd pass it along, and then I think that pretty much every single cell provider around here anyhow in Wisconsin does allow that even after the phone is deactivated, that it still will call 911. And also, I think that there's, from what I tried with them last time, was that you can still, it kicks you over to the preferred roaming network, which you can still punch in a credit card if you want to make a call. It basically turns it into a pay phone is what it does. So, just a little bit of feedback. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for the podcast. Bye-bye.
Dave, thanks for the information. I kind of suspected that a lot of the cell phones had 911 service. I didn't know that they turned them into pay phones like that.
I didn't either. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Dave also asked a question via email. He sent it via his Trio, but it was an invalid return address, so I couldn't respond to that. So I'm responding now. We had this little field trip going on in the podcast. You'll hear another segment of it tonight to the Computer Recycle Center and said, hey, where is that place? And I went back yesterday to pick something up as well as drop a whole another van load of crap off. And the owner was there, so I asked him permission. I said, you know, I'm running an internet radio show, and I have been playing a segment. One of the listeners in Fond du Lac said, where is this place?
Hey, you know what? Now you ask permission.
Yeah, just like the Mark from Memphis thing.
Yeah, okay.
Ask permission later, or ask forgiveness later.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's better, ask for permission or ask for forgiveness?
And the place is called Midwest Computer Recyclers. They're down in South Milwaukee. If you go to www.deadcomputers.com, you'll find the information you need to get there.
Hey, I like the domain. That's pretty cool.
You like that?
Yeah.
And they take a lot of stuff, as you will continue to hear in the segment coming later in the show.
This is your inner geek speaking. Listen to Chuck Chat Technorama.
I also mentioned on the last show that we had iPodder, had to change its name to Juice Machine or Juice Receiver.
Receiver.
Juice Receiver, that's it.
Juice Machine.
Juice Bar, Bruce Bar, what's his name? Yeah. And I sent an email to August Trometer, one of the authors of iPodder X, and said, are you guys next? And he says, hello, Chuck. Yes, it was great meeting you as well, referring to our handshake and punch cards at the expo. iPodder X is also going through a name change. The Lemon guys just came up with a name faster, especially since they're not running it by any lawyers or anything. We are taking more time because we don't want to be in the same position a year from now. They could call it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, well, iPodder, you know, Windows X.
Yeah.
So,
XP.
Thank you, August. It was nice of him to respond.
It was. That's cool. Hey, I do like their product, though. I've played with it some. The trial version, I like the the Windows version's pretty cool.
I haven't looked at the Windows version yet. I've been using the
it looks a lot like the
Mac one forever and ever.
It looks like the Mac one.
Does it? I should download it just to try it.
And
that sound means it's time for the news. I love it when you do that with, you know, the fake paper ripping with the piece of paper. Yeah. An article from Boing Boing. Cory Doctorow writes, a high school student has defied the perceived wisdom.
Would you like me to read this?
That it's impossible to fold paper more than 8 times by folding one 12 times. For extra credit in a math class, Brittany was given the challenge to fold anything in half 12 times. After extensive experimentation, she folded a sheet of gold foil 12 times, breaking the record. This was using alternate directions of folding, but the challenge was then redefined to fold a piece of paper. She studied the problem and was the first person to realize the basic cause for the limits. She then derived the folding limit equation for any given dimension. Limiting equations were derived for the case of folding in alternate directions and for the case of folding in a single direction using a long strip of paper. The merits of both folding approaches are discussed, but for high numbers of folds, single direction folding requires less paper.
Hey,
yeah.
Finally, now that that's conquered, we can start trying to conquer cancer.
Well, you know, if you had a really long strip of paper and all you had to do is fold it in half 12 times, that would actually be pretty easy, wouldn't it?
No.
What do you mean no?
For the longest time, I was told that, I mean, I remember like in fourth grade, somebody said, you can't fold a piece of paper even 8 times.
That's a normal 8.5 by 11 sheet. But what they're saying is take something like 1 inch wide and make it 20 feet long. I'll bet I could fold that 12 times.
Oh, that's garbage, man.
All you said is fold a piece of paper in half 12 times. That's not cheating. That's just another
view. That's what she did.
No, she folded the gold foil and then said, well, there's two different ways you can attack this problem.
Okay.
It's all about perception of the problem. It's like, how can you make a triangle out of only using 390-degree angles? You know the answer to that one?
No.
Don't think two-dimensionally. think of the globe. If you start out and you walk west, you know, 100 miles, and then you walk to the North Pole, and you walk, you know, you use that North Pole... If you turn 90 degrees, the only way you can go is south. So you've made a triangle on the Earth. Don't think freedom. You just have to think of a different perception. It's all about problem solving.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you like to take the next one, or shall I try to muddle my way through it again?
No, actually I will. And we mentioned this last time. I was talking about the cheap laptop. Mm-hmm. A cheap laptop boasting wireless network access and a hand crank provide electricity is expected to start shipping in February or March to help extend technology to school-age children worldwide. The machine starts selling for $100, slightly less than its cost. The aim is to have governments or donors buy them and give them full ownership to the children. They're actually pretty cool. They look kind of like the company LeapFrog made them. You know, one of those, it wouldn't say it has a full 14-inch screen like my laptop, but it has a smaller screen, has a hand crank, you can fold it back, so you can hold it like an ebook. It's really cool. I wouldn't mind having one, but I don't know if anybody can buy them, I guess.
Does it look like it's kind of ruggedized?
Maybe a little. Kind of like, you ever seen one of those those fake laptops that they sell for kids? Mm-hmm. It has like a liquid crystal display or something like that.
Yeah, like the VTech one that my kids have.
Yeah, there you go. It's kind of like a hard plastic. Yeah, it's like that. I think it looks pretty cool. You know, I'm sure it'll make a difference in a lot of people's lives if they can finally get a computer. It uses a wireless mesh technology, so like if this one over here that's 5 feet away is on the internet and say the... maybe not 5 feet, but, you know, there's some distance between you and the other one, and you can't connect to that wireless access point. You can connect through to the internet through the laptop that's closest to you out to the internet.
Okay.
You know, so
okay.
It uses the mesh technology. Yeah. You know, so if there's three of you in a row and maybe one or two of them are on the internet, you can connect through one of those to get online, too.
And finally, Lexus has a cheat code that enables massive peel-outs. Not that I have a Lexus or anything. Well, there is an appropriate use for that sound effect. This is by Alice Hill from Real Tech News. This makes sense when you think about it. Cars have computers, and computers have always had hidden Easter eggs and cheat codes. So it was inevitable that someone would find a cheat code hidden inside a car. Case in point, here's a way to disable the traction/skid control systems called VDIM on the Lexus IS. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Start the car with the parking brake on, then foot brake twice, keep the foot brake down, then parking brake twice, keep it down, and repeat till skid light is on the dash. It will reset when you restart the car. Apparently, this disables everything but the ABS. So if anybody has a Lexus IS out there, I would really be interested to hear if this works or not. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. It kind of scares me when you start talking about disabling stuff on your car like that.
I don't know.
You
know that the software guys out there are writing this just to have fun with it.
Yeah. All right. I want you to lift one foot up off the floorboard, pump the brake twice, hold up the handbrake, and
push in the cigarette lighter. Yeah. Turn the radio to 104.3.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Hey, you know what's funny is the source of this was the VW Vortex forums. I was like, I don't know, I just thought that was kind of funny. VW giving the cheat codes out. Anyway, moving right along.
Moving right along.
They released a teaser for Superman.
It's coming
out next summer. Yes. And here you go. Let's play that clip real quick.
All right.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them. They could be a great people, Kal-El. They wish to be. They only lack the light to show the way. For this reason, above all, their capacity for good. I have sent them you, my only son.
Jersey Boys podcast is for fans of the new Broadway musical called Jersey Boys that chronicles the successes, challenges, and ups and downs of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. This podcast includes samples of the recent recordings from Rhino Records and details about the current musical showing at the August Wilson Theater in New York City. Visit www.jerseyboyspodcast.com. That's jerseyboyspodcast.com for more information, including links for the Broadway show, music offerings from amazon.com, and pointers to more information about Jersey Boys and Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Don't touch that click wheel.
You're listening to Junk Chat.
I can sing like that. Now, you wanted to talk about...
Luke, I am your father.
I mean, Superman.
Boy, yeah. I was ready to talk about it as soon as we played it and had to wait an hour to get to it.
And then you get Frankie Valli.
Yeah. I was like, what the... Anyway, what I was trying to get at was that when you listen to that clip, that the music, it really... struck a nostalgic, you know, tone with me because I really loved the first Superman. The second one was really good too, but you know, it started going downhill after that. But
oh, you didn't like Richard Pryor?
No, it was all right. No, I didn't really care for it that much. But you know, anyway, I heard that music that da, 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 and I was like, oh crap, this is great. And then of course Marlon Brando and they're talking. That is Marlon Brando. You know, they actually used some clips that didn't make it in the original film, and I guess re-edited clips that they did use as well, and, you know, to recreate his part, Jor-El, in the new Superman. So I'm kind of interested to see how they did that, because there was a lot. I know over time I've seen a ton of pictures of scenes that look like it should have been in the movie, but it wasn't, of Jor-El, and he's doing this, that, and another on
Krypton.
Really? I'm like... Yeah, I mean, so they cut a lot out, so they reused a lot of that. So anyway,
cool.
It, you know, I've got me excited about it, and then of course, I subscribed to Smallville on my TiVo, and then of course I also have the TiVo set up to record Superman the Animated Series all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been like a Superman weekend for me. So I'm all excited for it.
It is cool. I was just trying to think of the Superman theme, but I can't. All I can think of is that stupid song they sing when, in the first movie when they're flying through the air. But
oh, yeah. No, what about that? So, I was a kid then. I was like, yeah, come on, hurry up.
Well, moving right along, I've come up with an interesting little contest. If you are a scriptwriter or programmer and would like to show us your wares, go to badgerbadgerbadger.com. Listen to the song if you haven't heard it before. It's very repetitive, very iterative. And the first thing that came to mind when I was listening to it was, boy, that sounds, you know, the iterative nature triggered something in my head that said, I could just write a program to do this. So I did. I wrote badger.php and posted it up in our wiki. We'll have a link in the show notes. Whether you want to do this in PHP, if you want to be object-oriented, or you want to just be... You know,
Python.
Python, Perl, Basic, I don't care. Write something for me and put it up there. I want to laugh at these things. I want to go, this is a Geek Fest thing here. If you want to write scripts
put in Ruby.
Ruby? Whatever you want. Just get the words out. Where it goes, badger, 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 mushroom, mushroom. And they do that over and over and over. And then they finally get to one part where it goes, snake, it's a snake. Okay. Sounds stupid. It is stupid. But have some fun with it. Just... I wrote mine while I was on hold on the phone, okay? So it doesn't take more than a minute or two if you listen to the scene. You go,
that
it's just a bunch
it.
Of for loops or while loops or whatever you want to write. Knock yourself out. Have some fun. We also have one other news story that kind of trickled down in the wiki somewhere. There is a new phone for Skypers. We'll have a link in the show notes, but for those of you...
Skypers!
Skypers. That's somebody who uses Skype. Yeah, I guess Skype is now a verb. You know, Skype.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Kind of like Google is a verb. But this is a traditional-looking phone that plugs into your phone, your computer's USB port, and you can make your Skype calls right from there. So if you got to have somebody who's got a real handset and keypad, you can do that now, too.
Hey, I'm starting to rub off on you. I like the way you said, it's a traditional-looking phone.
Don't get me started. All right, we are going to head back to the Computer Recycle Center for part three. There's more good junk hiding in them there, warehouse.
And he's here to sniff it out.
Again, you'll probably, take notice of the audio. I have ordered a new microphone for doing sound seeing tours like this. And you'll hear the excitement in my voice once again. And every time I turn around, I see something cool and geeky and, enjoy this as much as I did doing it.
Oh, look, tractor paper, tractor feed paper.
Most of this is telephone.
Yikes!
Whole systems.
Switches and everything?
Most of all that.
Oh, my God.
The routers and the system,
yep.
Everything. He's nuts for phones.
Yeah, I see big Nortel cabinets up there.
I told him, I said, you gotta stop this fetish, dude, because it's piling up quick. There's just tons and tons.
Do the company send in you their network equipment, too? I saw a 3Com hub back there.
Sometimes we do.
I think what the companies like Cisco and 3Com are doing are giving them
right
back. They
I think it depends if they're, you know, if they're actually going to deal with it.
Is this a milling machine? No, it's a printer. Now this is a large format plotter.
Yeah, my dad had his own shop done. I think my dad would be buying this.
DesignJet 3000.
For sign work.
5 feet.
You could do lots of vinyl on there.
Cool place. This is cool.
And you know what's really remarkable? I don't know if it worked out by chance or whatever. The guy that owns this building has his shop next door. He designs and builds computer system.
So they're born over there and they die over here. Fluorescent tubes.
Yep.
Excellent.
I don't know how they do it or what they do, but they will give us $1.50 a bulb.
No
Actually,
kidding.
No, they give us $2 a bulb because he was charging $1 a bulb to haul them out. So
no
this whole pallet,
kidding.
There's got to be 500-600 lamps on here. And the woman said...
Those are long. Those are 7 foot, 8 foot?
She should take them. Some are eight, some are fours.
That's some serious length.
This came in... Actually, it was a shop downtown. It was a resale shop.
Yeah?
That, actually, I didn't even know it was down there. And we went down there specifically to pick up one photocopier, one PC, a cash register, and two monitors. And we ended up making three trips. We took all of her steel. Everything that she was planning on hauling to the dump,
yeah,
we took, including all of these.
Man, they come from all ages, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's not a real IBM, but it's that old PC XT case. It's a knockoff. And an AT case?
I told him.
That's not actually an IBM, but it's close. Oh, here's the hubs and switches. Hey! A modem!
So we need to install shelving around this entire warehouse and start our own museum.
You could. You could with a lot of this stuff.
I pulled a system out of our Dropbox about a month ago.
Charge a buck for admission and let them go through.
It was an IBM. Filled up one pallet about this size. Flat. And what it turned out to be was a word processor. So big. So bulky.
That whole stuff was big.
I said, you know, I put it aside for time. I said, what the hell is this? He said, oh, it's like an old word processor. I said, it's the world's first typewriter, isn't it? Cow!
Electronic, yep. The old CAD stations, they used
and
to
I
be
ended
a
up,
desk.
2 weeks ago, I pulled it apart. These came from the Bradley Center.
Oh, no kidding.
The old Jumbotron out of the main lobby.
It's the projectors!
Yep, we pulled them out.
Do they work? Probably not anymore.
No, because we sold the guns. We sold the color guns. These are
dang, that would be cool.
These are filled with oil. Well,
one, two, three. How many are in here? About
36.
36? Oh my gosh, they're stacked up here too.
Yeah, one per unit. Because we walked in there, he says, well, we got to go take the TVs down at the Bradley Center. I had never been to the Bradley Center.
That's, what about it? 3 feet by 2 feet by 1 foot?
Well, these were inside.
Now, each one of these is red, green, blue.
Right.
And they projected, what, to different areas? Or were they using an array? Or
Each unit came in its own box.
Okay.
Which was as wide.
About, yeah.
Maybe yay tall and from here to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
100% aluminum box. No steel in it whatsoever. So we had to pull these. They were stacked. 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, up to 34. And then around these things were these big aluminum awnings,
mm-hmm,
with, they had the Bucks, Admirals, Wave, and a Miller logo, which were backlit from the other side. And on the back, actually, I think he sold the unit. All of these projected onto their own screens, and then there was one unit that separated the images to make one giant image.
Sure.
And before we even pulled them down, he had the gun sold.
Oh.
The color guns. These things just contain the cooling oil.
Okay.
There's looking oil in her.
Yeah, it's like a little concave.
To keep the lens from overheating.
Wow.
So, actually, these we're going to start next week. Pull the boards and the wire out, and the rest gets scrapped for steel. But these are taking up a lot of my space back here, so.
Yeah.
So they gotta go. But the cases alone, I think he charged them. Now, these things, I mean, keep in mind, these things were 30 feet off the ground. On their own little awning. And I said, what are you getting for this? Because it took us a good 2.5 days to pull them down. Because we had to disassemble them, lower them down on a scissor rack, load them into the truck.
What'd they replace it with?
I don't know. I just seen on the news the other day that they did a $5 billion rehab.
Yeah.
Because we talked to their IT guy, and he said, I don't know what's going back up here.
But I
found out they bought all kinds of plasmas. So maybe they went that way. I don't know.
I got lots of geek friends. They'd love to come in here.
Hi, this is Tim from Winecast, and when I want to get in touch with my inner geek, I go to Chuck Chat Technorama. 101, guys.
Hey, I went back yesterday, yeah, as I mentioned, and some of that stuff is still there. Some of it is not. It's already been packed up or moved or gone.
But, I'm sure that place changes all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm going to have to go more frequently and see if I can pick up some more cool stuff.
Hey, you know, he did mention Oliver Steele. I just want to say I loved that show.
Oh, yeah, Oliver Steele. He said, you know, we went to this lady's place and picked up Oliver Steele. I said, I know
Yeah,
him.
I love that show from the 80s. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan rocked.
Yeah. Someone's going to call you out on that one.
Anyway, let's get out of here, Chuck.
Pretty quick. We've got one quick geek thought.
Oh, by the way, yes? That's right. Hey, and I do want to mention something before we go. Anyway, before we move on. You know, I was talking about hacking my Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm waiting on the game that will allow me to do that. One of my friends is supposed to hook me up, so that's my next step. Once I get that, the pieces are in line, the planets are moved together, and the whole thing, and I'm ready to do it. So, the clouds parted.
The angels sing.
Yeah.
You'll find none of that here.
No. So, yeah, roll that beautiful bean footage.
The geek thought buttery goodness?
Yep.
Geek thoughts.
Alcohol and calculus don't mix, so never drink and derive.
That's two in a row you have that deal with alcohol, dude.
It's a theme.
Guns and tequilas and now alcohol and calculus.
I'm going to hit the 12-step process or program here soon.
12-step process? You've been computing too long if you start thinking like that.
12-step process.
Oh, that means it's time to go.
Yeah. All right. You can contact us through the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428 in your face. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. You can email me, KREG at chuckchat.com, and visit our website.
Audio clips are best to chuckchat@gmail.com. Yes. If you've got some of those. There's also one we've been forgetting to mention. Mm-hmm. We do have a Skype listener line. If you've got Skype, you can do this all for free and leave me a really decent audio clip at chuckchat. Just add that to your Skype buddy list, and you're good to go. We forget about that from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
What's on the website?
Yeah, do that. Stuff.
Yeah, go there, find out.
No, but definitely go over to friendsandtech.com and check out our consolidated forums. It's all of our shows. All of our shows have all of our forums in there, so you can kind of cross-pollinate and
any words of wisdom?
Answer, talk to other people. So,
words of wisdom?
The internet is so big and so powerful and pointless that for some people it's a complete substitute for life.
I'd agree with that. I would.
I live it.
All right. Binary high five.
101.
Thanks for listening.
Good night, y'all.
Well, everybody's got a fear of something.
Not everybody.